Hello and welcome to an anthology of wonder. Today we're going to talk about felting, and I'm going to make some baby owls and a nest for them. So there are two main types of felting. One is wet felting and the other is needle felting. And they both kind of fall into the category of felting or wool felting, but they're two very different things. And I'd just like to say, if you hear a crunchy sound, that's me. I'm working on the felt. I'm using some stuffing from a stuffed animal that my dog destroyed. It's probably some polyester material, but it works well enough to felt with. So I use it as a base so that I don't waste my good wool. And the method I'm using here is needle felting. I don't actually know how to do what is called wet felting. And so wet felting is the kind of thing that you see when you put your wool sweater in the wash and it shrinks up. Or you might have something made with wool felting. Like, I believe a lot of hats are made with wool felting. I have a bunch of berets, and so those would have been made with wool felting. And some of the needle felting stuff is a lot of sculpture, 3D work, like what I'm making now. A lot of animals. I believe it's in Japan, they're making a lot of like very cute kawaii stuff with needle felting. And so I'd encourage you to just Google like needle felted animals and you'll find some really cute stuff. And so obviously wet felting is made wet. You have to use water. The hair of mammals, the fibers, they have these scale-like proteins. And when the fibers are wet, they sort of like unlatch and become less smooth. And that allows them, when they're worked and sort of massaged into shape, they will tangle together. I have my first little owl done, or the shape of the first owl done. It's very small because this is going to be a small project. So teensy, and it's just like a white blob right now. I'm going to eventually add some more, but for now, that's my first owl. I'm going to start working on the shape of the second one. This is how the felt sounds at the microphone. I like playing with sounds sometimes. Sometimes I will just not have any recording going on and play with the sounds of the keyboard and the microphone and touching the microphone and the mouse and all that. And it's just kind of nice to hear these interesting sounds. And it's very weird to hear myself talk in these headphones. Oh, hello, family who has opened the door and interrupted this podcast. Hello.
I forgot
again. I'm so sorry. It's okay, Mom. That's the perils of doing this in the laundry room. People actually have to do laundry sometimes. So, let's see. Wet felting. Back on topic. Wet felting has been around for a very, very, very long time. And most historians think that it started in Central Asia. So the Mongolians have a lot of really beautiful felt art. The yurts or gurs, it's a different word for the same thing. I believe gur is what the Mongolians would have called it in their language, in Mongolian, but yurt is a Turkish word. So sort of like circular house tents are made with giant, thick white felt. So think of like a camping tent, but circular. And then instead of some sort of plastic fabric that you drape around the poles, it's wool. And so that really helps them keep warm when it got really cold, because it gets cold over there. So we still actually have some early Bronze Age, like, felted caps made entirely of felt. I believe there's, like, a museum in Copenhagen, wherever that is, that has those. And wet felting is old enough to have legends about it. So that's pretty cool. There's one legend that says that the Noah of the Bible, of the flood and all that, he lined his ark with fleece, and then the animals peed on it and walked on it and eventually trampled it down into felt, and that's how felt was discovered. The Sumerians believed that felt making was discovered by the warrior Ur-Nammun of Laga. And then there are the stories of various people, usually like Christian saints, who would put wool in their shoes because back then, you know, like, shoes were expensive and they were wearing sandals, which, you know, didn't have good arch support. So they needed something to help them get around. And then eventually it matted down into felt. But yeah, those are legends, and like I said, most historians believe it originated in Central Asia, but probably with a story, something like that, like, happening by accident. Because what kind of person would think, oh, I'm just going to, let's get this wool wet and smush it together a lot, and that'll totally turn into something. I don't believe there's any way that could have happened except by accident. Now, I'm about done with my second little owlet. It's about the same size as the other one, except more square. And actually, maybe it's a little smaller. I'm going to needle him down into a little smaller bit. So the origin of needle felting was a little harder to find, but the sources I looked at say it was invented by Eleanor and David Stanwood in the 1980s and 1990s. And I was actually pretty surprised, because I would have expected this to be much older. But it's actually pretty recent. And so I told you that wet felting works because the water and the movement allows the fibers to tangle together. And needle felting, or dry felting, works by tangling the fibers together, but without water. So we have these needles. That's the sound of the needle against the microphone. We have these needles, and there's supposed to be a little holder that you can put the needle onto, but I'm lazy, and so I don't use that. There's my wool. So, and the needles have little tiny notches in them. So when you stab them into the fabric, it tangles up the fabric. It catches a thread and pushes it down deeper into the rest of the fabric. And so nowadays, wet felting is used mostly for making pieces of clothing or hats, whereas needle felting, needle or dry felting, is used for sculptures, and also the kind of felt that you see in the store is probably made by needle felting. There are some giant needle felting machines that have just like bunches and bunches and bunches of needles all hooked up to a machine, and they just stab at something a bunch of times all at once. And it makes felt. So, I think I've run out of material now, but I'm not quite done. So, you can stop listening to this episode now if you'd like, because the end of this episode is just going to be me making these owls. I'm on the third owlet, and I still have to make the nest, and then I have to decorate them with colors. I might talk and narrate a little bit, but it's going to be pretty boring. So unless you like the sound, I'm going to probably turn up the microphone so that you can hear it better. But then after that, it's just going to be sounds and maybe a little bit of talking. So you can say goodbye now if you want, or you can listen to like 10 minutes of just... Hi. Need a little bit more wool. Yeah, I've started on the wool part now. Congratulations to me. I have all three little owlets made. And as of right now, I'm focusing on covering them in this natural, little bit off-white, cream-colored wool that will be closer to their natural color. And then after that, I'm just gonna put little faces on them, and I have to remember to make them appropriately fluffy. That's always hard for me because I just want to stab a lot, but I need to remember to make them all fluffy because baby owls are super fluffy. Yeah, so that's like an appropriate amount of fluff right there. Okay, I think I'm gonna not do this as like a continual thing because it would take absolutely forever, and I'm just gonna stop recording now and I'll come back when all the owls are done. Drop my needle. So I'm back. It's actually been quite a while. So I finished the owlets, all of them. I decided to make one of them actually just an egg, because I wanted to. And so now I'm working on the nest. I used a polyester animal stuffing base, like I usually do, and then I covered it with several layers of different colored wool. And actually, something that I'm kind of proud of myself for thinking of is I unraveled some wool yarn that's brown that I happen to have and I never got around to using, and so it looks much more of a messy kind of structure. It definitely took a long time to unravel the yarn though, and so right now I'm just working on making sure that yarn is actually attached. So I'm just poking it down in a few places. You know, you guys are going to see the finished product first, and then you're going to hear about the process, but I'm doing it the reverse. I have to make this before I know what it looks like. I guess that's the thing with anything that you do. You have to take a chance on it. And I have to make sure that the owlets fit in the nest, because that's important because they're supposed to go in the nest. I made the nest just for them. Yep, lots of stabbing of the hands. Okay, so right now I'm testing, putting the egg in, and then the two owls. And yeah, I think they fit all right. So then, those are my owls. Again, they are going to be the art that is on the, like, the cover of this episode. And thank you for watching. Thank you for hearing about my little owls and about the history of felting. Bye.